Hey, my friends, it is Monday night, January the 18th, and it's 6 p.m., 6 to 7 Eastern Standard Time, Russ Dizdar. Shatter the darkness, and here we are tonight. Listen, wow, all the snow's melting everywhere around us here. Great fog, like an eerie movie the last couple of days in my area. I don't know how it's been for you, but I just want to say welcome again tonight. Great to be here. What a privilege really is. It is really an open door that God has given. And we're sharing with you saying, thanks a lot. We appreciate many, many letters that come in. Got to say quickly, though, because of the hundreds of emails, on a human scale, I'm not able to respond to everything. We're praying about how we can do this better. We want to be able to respond to everybody. But let me let you know right now that I've got about 10 people yet today to respond to, and we'll get to you. Sometimes live on the air, I can respond or at least bring up your question or comment so you can write to shatterxmail@sbcglobal.net. Listen, this is a great day to live before the living God and know that there is an indestructible hope. Listen, this is a week that we're going to be on Monday night, Wednesday night, Friday night, 6 p.m. to 7, Tuesday night, survivetothrive.net, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The topic of the week, it's listed every week on the shatterthedarkness.net site, and here's the topic: the nature of God versus the globalist, small g, God, counterfeit spirituality. Now we're going to take a look at the attributes of God, the very being of God, in comparison to the globalist's concept, to the new age spirituality's kind of, literally leading some of the science and some of the physics. See, the scientists can't handle a closed universe, that it's just what we see and only what we see that's really out there. So there is a massive mixture predicted, even on the occult side, that there would be a combination between science and spirituality. But the spirituality spoken of is a New Age spirituality, a finite spirituality, a counterfeit spirituality, an alternative spirituality that does mix with the physics of, the understanding of physics as far as man is concerned and science as far as man is concerned. So we're going to talk about the nature of the immaterial God, the indestructible God, the infinite God, the immortality. We're going to look at pure actuality. We're going to look at immutability, simplicity. We're going to look at some of the aspects of the nature of God that when we discuss this, this is why we would say to those at CERN, to the super collider scientists looking for the God particle, that you're not going to be able to slice a piece of the spirit skin or, you know, the figuratively speaking anyway, an anthropomorphism here. You're not going to be able to slice a piece of the skin of God and dissect God. So let's take a look tonight at, the title for Monday night is this: God is immaterial and cannot be put under the scope or the physics of man. God is immaterial and cannot be put under the scope or the physics of man. Now that's tonight. We're going to delve into that. Let me give you a few things as we begin. This involves the concept of being able to dissect God. Many of us can remember in our biology classes in school, we had to dissect a frog. Some had to dissect a pig. And listen, it was kind of eerie, kind of strange, to where, of course, the frog was dead and the pig was dead and all that kind of stuff. But you had to slice it open. You had to go in. You had to look at the little parts on the inside. And listen, those who are going to be in the field of medicine, they have to do this with real cadavers. And take a look at the heart, the lungs, the kidneys, the pancreas, the liver, all the guts, all that stuff. And what an incredible makeup on the inside of us. The physical side is absolutely brilliant and by design, but we are more, obviously, more than just the physical. God, though, however, when we touch on the concept of the immaterial nature of God, and it's combined with the concept of pure actuality, which I'll explain, immutability, which I'll explain. And by the way, if you're interested in a great, you know, I got thousands of theology books here, but if there's one that I would recommend to look at the attributes of God and get a good definitive look, Systematic Theology, volume number 1 out of 4, volume number 1 by Norman Geisler. Norman Geisler, Systematic Theology, volume 1. Norman Geisler. I'm going to give a couple quotes out of that tonight. Now, I've got, again, others here that I can use and share and try to give you some insight. I'm going to go to some scriptures that speak about the nature of God being invisible, immortal, things like that, that speak about this concept of immaterial. Can you touch God? Can you grab God and pull him down? Can you put him on a table and dissect him? Can you put him on a little glass and put him under a microscope? Is there something? And I'm going to say this. Is CERN, the super collider, is that just really a massive microscope? Is it a way of saying mankind is trying to in some way pull God in and dissect, even if it's a particle? So we're going to talk about the difference between the immaterial nature of God and material. Material. You might be sitting on a chair, listening to a radio, listening to the computer, and all of this is material. It all boils down to the atoms and to the particles and protons and all of that stuff of the universe. Let me give you a quote. You can be thinking about it. Then I'm going to go to some news and come back for the body of the message. This comes out of Volume 1, Systematic Theology by Norman Geisler. And the definition of immateriality, this is the immaterial nature of God. Listen, quote, immaterial literally means non-material. This, of course, raises the question of what matter is. Humanity's understanding of matter has undergone considerable change over the centuries. Some Greek philosophers, they were called atomists, thought of matter as made up of hard little pellets of reality known as atoms. Modern science has knocked a lot of the stuff out of matter, speaking of it more in terms of physical energy. Einstein's famous E equals mc squared states that energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. Some of you will understand that. Some of us won't. Let me go on to this quote. Regardless of the precise nature of matter, it is commonly understood as matter has certain characteristics. Let me just inject here. Now, this is my comment. All of matter, particles, all of it, that we are able in any way to look at, we're dealing with finite material, matter. Now let me go on with the quote. Quote, these will enable us to understand what God is not when he is said to be non-material. Besides being finite, limited, matter is said to be extended in space and traditionally this meant to have part outside of part. Matter is that which occupies space. No two particles can be in the same location. The current conception of matter is rather like Swiss cheese. Even so, it contains some mass and particles that cause it to be extended in space. Let me go on with a little more quote, okay? Another property of matter, as currently conceived, is that it is subject to the second law of thermodynamics. The material universe is running out of usable energy, as some say. That's my comment. Quote again, in addition to mass and physical energy, light and physical forces, such as gravity, magnetism, are also part of the physical universe. In all these senses of the word material, God is not material. In all of what we just quoted in definition from Norman Geisler in Systematic Theology, page 138, in the definition of God being immaterial, in trying to define what is material, we're simply saying God is not. This is where, again, old Hinduism, Buddhism, and specifically New Ageism, the finite spiritual presence that presents itself in many forms and trying to connect itself, it itself is finite. So it cannot, finite spirituality, the fallen side, the dark side, cannot bring definition, and by nature will not bring correct definition of God's immaterial being. Now, this is very important because globalism is going to have, well, has an invisible presence, a God, small g, the prince of the power of the Eros, this atmosphere around the earth, this global brain, this living conscious presence, this field is operative. And as the New Agers and the spiritual evolutionists describe the concept of the evolution of God or matter or God force or God presence, you're going to find a New Age spirituality, counterfeit alternative spirituality, definitions of God as force. It all boils down to God being still material and under the scopes of a evolutionary process and under the, well, under the control of or limitations of finite material existence, all of which is not a definition of God's real nature, God's immaterial nature, and misses the immensity of God. So let me say also to the liberal process theologians, I mean, this is liberal process theologians that are saying that God is learning, God is growing, God is... Let me ask you a question. If God is omniscient, God is omnipresent, if God is God, who does he learn from? If God is God and is growing, what propels God to grow? People don't understand the acidity of God, the self-propelling nature of God. Oh, we're going to get into it this week, guys. We are going to get into the fact that God is not only immaterial, immense, immeasurable. Well, we're going to talk about the pure actuality of God, the immutable nature, the simplicity. We're going to deal with this in contrast to the spirituality pouring out from those doctrines, the didache of demons, trying to present an alternative description of God. And in every single case in the New Age movement, Helena Blavatsky and Alice Bailey and Mueller and Spengler and many others, Hubbard and all those others, you'll find this in cults too, or a sect. In their definitions of God, it brings, boils God down to material existence. Nothing beyond that. And that's sad because we're dealing with limitations now. If the sun goes out, then look what would happen to the earth. It would affect everything, including affecting God. And so in pantheism, to say that everything, all is one, all is God, that everything is God, that if a tree gets cut down, God gets cut down. That if a flower gets stepped on and gets crushed, then God gets stepped on and gets crushed. God is transcended in his immaterial nature, bigger, broader than all of this. And it's awesome. It's wonderful. It's incredible because the immense, infinite, immaterial God that cannot be put under the scope or the technology of man or the physics of man is still the most relational being who loves us. And that's good news. So, as we discuss tonight, the concept of mankind trying in some way, let me ask a question too. Why do we try? Listen, man is trying to find God in technology and science and philosophy and man-made religion and all kinds of stuff because we lost our connection in the beginning. Let me say it again. The great search for God, even when it comes now to technology, physics, you know, and New Age spirituality and the combination of this new science, the reason is because we lost the connection in the beginning. Sitting here as a human being, the imago Dei, the image of God, we were created to know God, to be connected inseparably, eternally. Now, there is an intrusion that separates us, blinds us, cuts us off, yet left inside of us, biologists, physicists will talk about, well, the God gene, the God molecule, the God DNA. I mean, this concept inside that there's something inside of man that still says that we are hardwired to know a God, to be connected to God, that there is a God. And beyond the physics, beyond the biology, beyond the genetics, beyond the DNA, is the fact that we read in Scripture, in James, that still, with all this fallenness and a supranatural blinding that shrouds the human perception of God, still the imago Dei, the imprint, not just a memory, but the concept of a God both within and without is imprinted, coded. The fact of the matter is we can't get away from God. Though atheists, even like Richard Dawkins, live in angry denial, doing all they can to... I mean, have you ever had tape get on your finger and you're trying to flick it off and it won't get off? And if you finally get off one finger, it sticks to the other finger. It's kind of like those who are trying to deny God and God's just sticking to them all over the place. Though they don't know him. Because let me read you something, okay? I'm going to read you something. Take a listen. I'm quoting, quote, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged," listen now, "some of you by the providence of God that do not yet know God, physicists, scientists, seekers, mankind has exchanged the glory of the immortal," connected to that immortality is the immaterial, the invisible. "They have exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images. And the images never satisfy, the finite images. That's why New Agers out there are never satisfied. That's why they're constantly seeking, searching, looking, trying to find. Like that 86-year-old teacher that has studied everything, been through every kind of finite New Age spirituality. And guess what? When I asked him, standing in that restaurant, "Have you found what you're looking for?" Old Bill, 86 years old, deep student of the New Age, an experiencer of spiritual events, his jaws dropped, his eyes watered, sadness, and he shook his head. No, he has not found God. And so do the psychics and remote viewers and scientists and physicists that are using material existence to try to find God. Let me say it simply and plainly on a street level. You're barking up the wrong tree. You're never going to reach God that way. The good news is God has made a way for you to reach him, to know, and to know that you know that you know. And that's the good. Now, listen, we've gotten into this 20 minutes already, and I'm ready to just unleash this incredible, awesome, it's revelation. But it's revelation not only in special revelation of Scripture, but in general or natural revelation in the sense of creation. I've already read to you out of Romans chapter, that's where I was quoting from, Romans chapter 1. And when you begin to read from verse 18 down, when you listen. "For since the creation of the world," since the very moment, you know that what scientists are calling the Big Bang, that moment that particles, that material existence came into existence. Not out of nothing, out of God. Because there's no such thing as nothing. Now, listen, you can argue with me on that if you want, but I want you to think through and take the concept of nothingness to its logical conclusions. If there is nothingness, how do you define it? If there is nothing, how do you research it? I don't believe there's anything such as nothing. I mean, you can look into a room and say, well, there's nothing there. Well, actually, the floor's there, the walls are there, light switch, a doorway. So when you understand the concept, ex nihilo, out of nothing God created, it's not referring to out of nothing as far as nothing in existence in that sense, or pre-existent material. It's a reference to that there was no pre-existent independent material out there. But creation came out of the immaterial God, the pure actuality, the immensity, the immaterial nature of God. Out of God came the material universe. It includes all we see and feel and touch, everything down to the last, well, molecule, proton, particle. And even if the superconductor, through its little Atlas detector, finds another piece or particle beyond what they already have, they haven't found a sliver of God. They haven't dissected God. They haven't opened God up as if God can be taken in by a multi-million dollar super collider. This once again declares the absolute lack of understanding of the immensity of God, which we're going to talk about on Tuesday night, by the way. But let me stop here for a few moments and say again, hello, welcome to all those who are listening, to all those who listen during the week, and during the months, download by the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. Many of you that download the archives, listen, we want you to know that you're in our prayers too, and that this 1 hour we believe is providential. God is involved in this. That's why I'm here. That's the compelling motivation of why I am here. On the one hand, the ramping up of the largest, broadest manifestation of spiritual counterfeits in human history is upon us. And it's only going to get deeper, thicker, broader, and wider. And this is what concerns me, because on the one side, God is pursuing humanity. God is pursuing you, if you didn't know it, if you don't know him yet. But on the other hand, there's a dark spirituality that is seeking, another agenda, and seeks individuals also, and summons individuals also, and presents its presence to individuals also. And this is involved in the New Age movement, Luciferianism, and all the rest. But it's the power behind globalism. For all those who are concerned about the economics in globalism, the political nature in globalism, for all those who have listened to Lord McNaughton and all the discussions of shadow government, shadow military, and all the rest, there is no shadow military, no shadow government, no shadow religion without a real supernatural counterfeit to God, but real spiritual presence. It led a third of the angelic nature angels away from God. It led humanity into this. Listen, haven't we learned in this ragged edge of a fallen world with all of our pain, blood, guts? Look at Haiti right now. Haven't we learned? We were led into this disaster of a fallen world, but God has obviously not left us to it. Entered in, and we're going to talk about how the immaterial nature of God and the incarnation of God connect. It's immense. It's personal. And it clearly is the hope of the world. Now, I want to give a little bit of news just quickly here before we go into the rest of the content. So here's the news break. Let me mention that on the shatterthedarkness.net site, there is a daily devotion, 31 Days Ablaze, 10 to 20 minutes of little sermons, little miniature sermon type things for daily. And you can memorize scripture and things like that with it. There's also a free course, training course that we teach here. It's the equivalent of like a college level course. We teach it over 16 weeks. But we got it up free for anybody that wants it. It's on the site there. And you'll also see the newsletter is up, and you can check into the newsletter. Just click on it, January 2010. And we always put on the newsletter the newest MP3s and things like that. And one of the newest ones coming up is going to be placed there soon. It's on Luciferianism, the elites, and the real luminaries. That is a big thing, and we've been working on it and delaying it because we have more to put into it. Now, let me make a quick comment here, because I put out last week, immediately, in the midst of the disaster in Haiti, I put out a message called Haiti Voodoo, a Pact with the Devil, and the Gospel Right Now. Again, quote, Haiti Voodoo, a Pact with the Devil, and the Gospel Right Now. Now, it's been received by thousands and thousands, I guess. Others have put it up on their sites, and I've gotten comments back overwhelmingly great. But I had one individual put a comment back that have used vulgarities and things like that. It's kind of mad, and I don't think they listened to it. I don't think they really listened to all of it, because they're kind of barking and yelling at me that I would even bring up the concept of Satan and the devastation and the suffering, and who cares whether it was the devil or whatever else, and things like that, and that the message would give discredit to real Christian ministries. What the individual that wrote does not know, and I want you to hear this, the message we put out was something that literally, I just literally had to get up out of bed to do it, because I was bugged by the concept. Because we heard the comment by, you know, Robinson, Pat Robinson, and about the Voodoo Pact, and I wanted to find out if it was real. And so I did some research. I did a one-hour thing. It's up there. Many have listened to it. You might want to comment about it. And some might not like it. I don't know. But in response to the one that's like, you know, almost like, I'm just saying that they simply could not have listened to it. Because it was about what really did occur in Haiti years ago, over 200 years ago. How voodoo priests actually did, in order to get rid of the French, do a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, and had all those people. So the leadership of Haiti from 200 and some years ago initiated their independence in a pact with the devil, in a satanic ritual that continued for 200 years. And it does bring effect. For example, if you're a family, you got three kids, and one of your kids goes wild, and say they begin to, you know, do drugs, and in your house they begin to make meth, and they begin to worship the devil and have pentagrams up in their room. Do you think that doing meth and having a satanic pentagram and calling on demons and worshiping Satan in your household, you think that will bring effect into your house? You better believe it. It will. And so I'm saying that any nation that opens itself up on a national level, this is why I'm concerned about the White House, the United States, if there's any voodoo going on, or if there's any signed contracts to offer tax money for the slaughter of children in abortion. Because nations can either open the door to blessing or open the door to cursings. And it's without question that in leadership, and for over 200 years, they allowed it to continue, and even presidents, leaders and so forth in all of Haiti's history called on the demonic powers and used the same voodoo practices to continue. Now, I'm saying I blame that for bringing about one of the poorest countries in all the world. What I've said in the message on Haiti voodoo, Pact with the Devil, and the Gospel Right Now, what I did not say was that God judged Haiti. I didn't say that. I couldn't say that. I don't know. It'd be more likely that Satan did this, just like in Job's case when Satan caused a tornado and collapsed buildings on Job's kids. Satan does that kind of stuff. I know the Luciferians and Satanists won't like that, but that's what he does. Some have suggested in one writing, could it be HAARP? You know, all I know is that somehow, maybe tectonic plates or something underground, it was an earthquake. As Jesus said 2,000 years ago that they would be occurring. If you read Romans chapter 8, you're going to find out the physical creation is decaying, breaking down. And the closer we get to the end, the more it will break down. And so there's going to be more of this kind of stuff. In China, it, you know, massive. The tsunami was massive. Katrina was massive. So in the discussion of this one-hour message I put out, the individual that wrote the negativity on the issue didn't probably listen to the fact that I did not state this came from God. It was not, in my words, a judgment from God. It was dealing with the fact that if you open the door to the enemy, yes, bad things can occur. That could be a grandfather that opens the door to the dark side, or maybe a dad that is an alcoholic and brings his alcoholism into the home. It brings havoc. No question about that part of it. Well, okay, what do we do? You know, if just simply an earthquake occurred because of the decaying of the earth and creation, what's the response? Clearly, from the beginning and the very end of this message I put out, the response was, my immediate response was, scrape money together and give it to known Christian ministries on the ground. I've done that immediately back before I even did the message. I've done that a couple of times more. And on our newsletter and on our website, we have a connection to where you can send money that to a Christian relief agency who have people on the ground. It will bring effect, and they will work to save lives. They will work to feed. Listen, millions have been poured into Haiti as far as Christian missions and so forth. What the individual that wrote the negative comment, which was okay, I can handle that, but the issue is this. I quoted in the message Haitian leaders, Haitian Christian leaders, Haitian Christian ministries. I quoted Haitian people and what they had to say about their country, what they believed was one of the causes, and how those Christian ministries did step out and did a massive prayer campaign rebuking and breaking the curses and things like that. And they're fighting for a nation. You know who's fighting for the nation? I think it's the voodoo priests and those involved in presidents and corrupt leadership and government that seeks money and seeks all the stuff and uses those dark powers for greed and everything else. You can look at the history of some of those people that took millions of money from Haiti and left, or they were ousted. So it's the real believers, the legitimate ministries that are down there, and Haitians that have been seeking God's grace and intervention and miracle. And the good news that I shared in the message was they believe revival's coming. They believe good things are coming. But in the midst of everything right now, what's the answer to the devastation? Well, I only know one thing. I'm telling you what, you know, I put my words into action before I ever did the message. And I've done it twice since. And so, you know, I'm going to do what I can and continue to do what I can and continue to scrape what I can. But I'm making sure it goes to those who are on the ground that can do all the physical stuff and pray and believe God and give hope and share the gospel. And that's what we're doing. So, we appreciate it. So we thank you for all the good comments. We, you know, appreciate the fellow that sent in the little bit negative one. But I can't understand. I can't believe they listened to the entire thing. So it's out there, and our mentality is all that we can do, even looking into adopting and bringing children here. So, and that includes, and someone says, well, that, you know, because somebody wrote me last night in the live program on Blog Talk, you know, well, let's help people here. Well, we've been, you know, we do that constantly. We're doing that. See, most people don't know me that well, but, you know, we've had kids, unwed mothers, black and white, off the streets in our home for over 10 years. And we didn't have to use an agency. We just simply, out of our love for God and love for people, we just took people in that needed to be brought in. So we want to do what we can do, and that's what we're, you know, all about. So anyway, that's a little commercial I needed to put in because of the comment, and may direct others to listen to that. And the bottom line is, you know, what if you do give $10 or $1,000 or you know, whatever to Haiti? To mission like Compassion International that has people down there. Well, please realize that you will literally, because like right now, can I get down there? Can I go down there later? My daughter's going to be going down there later as far as her plans are concerned. People that she's in ministry with just left last week to go down there. So we have connection. We have connection, and we'll see what happens down the road. And our mentality is just help the people. So God bless, and let's keep praying for the folks down there, and let's keep praying for God's grace. But let me tell you this too. In your life, your family life, or in a nation's life, if they open the door to the small g god of this world, if they open the door to the dark side will enter and always brings devastation. Always, it's toxic presence That's why we're concerned about globalism and where we're going with it. Because there is no globalism, there is no shadow government, shadow military, shadow religion, without the prince of the power of the Eros, the air around us, supernaturally operating to build it. This spiritual deception and those who open the door to it will bring about, and I'm telling you, it's on their heads too. The blood is on their heads. And if you're a globalist listening, if you are in shadow government, military, and listening, the blood is on your head. The blood is on your head. Now, let's move from this back for 20 more minutes, on this subject we're dealing with tonight. And I'm dealing with God is immaterial. And he cannot be put under the scope or the physics of man. And I think that in this discussion, it involves who we are. It involves how to know God. It involves death and dying. I guarantee it involves people in Haiti that have died. I can tell you that not only in China and Katrina, in Indonesia and around the world has there been catastrophic. You know, there's man-made ones. There's all kinds of stuff. And there's more that's coming. But as the dark side in counterfeit ramps up and manifests, toxic effect will occur in politics, military, and counterfeit religion to the detriment of nations, of the environment, of economy, and of the bulk of human existence. The 2 billion or more that will die in less than a 3-year period, referenced in Revelation 9, it's not because God did that. It is the doorways that have been opened to this God of the New Age, small g. The God of the New Age, in every description, a New Age spirituality, is a finite material presence and a evolving presence, a force like the force of Star Wars. Well, that's the definitions they can give, and all kinds of man-made religion and even philosophers, scientists, physicists can give definition like that. But if it includes that God is material existence, that he's subject to material existence, then you have not even scratched the surface of the definition of the being, of the nature, of the attribute of God. Something so much broader, so much wider, so much bigger is there. Now, I quoted earlier again, and let me mention this. In Romans chapter 1, verse 20, for since the creation, the moment the material existence began, all the way to the planets, the universe, the galaxies, down to this little planet Earth, to the waters, the trees, the frogs, the human life. Here's what it says. God's invisible qualities, which includes the immaterial nature of God. I looked up the Greek word for invisible, used here, Colossians chapter 1. And the visible and the invisible. Now, Colossians, you're going to read where God created the visible and invisible. Even what we can't see, thrones, dominions, angels, powers, places. What we cannot see is much more, it's vast in comparison even to what we can see. And see, the physics of man, guided spiritually and finite sources and so forth, you know, they're breaking into the finite invisible spiritual sources. And maybe CERN will break into that side, and that's what it's meant to do. But it's not going to break into the immaterial, infinite, immortal, untouchable God. God cannot be dissected by anything on a finite level. The vast immensity, infinity, we'll talk about infinity tomorrow. We just don't understand the depth of this. I hope this week we can try to convey the immensity of God. And that involves this immaterial being, this immaterial nature, this concept of God is not the material existence. God did create material existence. God is not just transcendent, but he's here. God can, and I'm going to mention to you later on this program, listen now. For example, a supernatural miracle, what is that? the immaterial God moving on existing material, the existing physical plane. God can tweak it any way he wants to. God can heal. God can raise the dead. God can bring his spirit inside fallen mankind and renew us and give the gift of eternal life. Now, we're going to talk about the physics of God in this as we go along this week. But I'm reading to you again this concept again that all of physical existence, finite existence, material existence, all of it, even the atoms and protons and particles, I believe that all physical existence in every single ounce does like this scripture says. It gives witness to the invisible qualities of God. Invisible qualities. And number two, his eternal power. Eternal power. And his divine nature. That's why we're going to be talking about the difference between the globalist concept of spiritual energy and force and evolution spiritually, the concept of God force, the development of globalism, the rise and manifestation of Satan in human skin, who will claim to be God or the anti or instead of Christ. This is all going to culminate in the concept of man believing in God being material and then manifesting in this limited, massively, the apex of deception in the Antichrist. And it all leads to destruction, and that's what, well, this program, that's what God's intervention right now is all about. So you may be here by the divine intervention of God, and God is summoning you, and God is calling you to honestly take a look at the Gospel of John, the living Christ, what he's done, how he was foretold. Out of eternity, the immaterial God now has come into material existence. That is the incarnation. We'll touch on that in a few seconds. Now, I'm going to mention three things: the substance of God, the revelation of God, and the manifest presence. So if you got a pen or pencil, if you're taking notes, or if you are just listening, I want you to think through the concept, and I'm going to say it again, to the physicists and those, again, caught up in finite, spirituality that's real but finite, the concept of an evolutionary spiritual presence, obviously finite spiritual presence does evolve, does grow, does learn. Does have an agenda, does move from point to point. God is beyond that. Omniscience, omnipresence literally mean what it says. There is no locality where God is not. There's no way to go outside. You know, I sat on the beach years ago in California because I've been out there 40 times to see my mom and dad when they were there. Sitting on the beach, Huntington, looking, knowing that somewhere, somehow, Japan, China, whatever, you know, with these little finite eyes, one day I was probably about 22, I was trying to like squint my eyes and think, how far can you see? Well, obviously, it's impossible with these eyeballs to see across the ocean into Japan or China. And even with the super collider, or you can take all kinds of technology. And even with the aid of finite dark spiritual presence that seems to give some kind of enhancement, human enhancement, you still cannot cut into God. You still cannot dissect God. Not even Satan himself and the totality of that, insurrection. That spiritual insurrection that hates God so terribly. That only seeks the use of mankind, Luciferian, as human fodder like Judas. That's all. That's all globalism is about, human fodder for use. That's all the super political globalism, the super military, the new planetary defense weapons. All of that is about using you, humanity, as fodder to do one thing, try to destroy God. That's what it's all about, ultimately. This is the spirituality that helped cut us off from God and bring blinding into us. See, the small g God, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this age, small g, has blinded the mind of man. There is a supernatural operating sense or presence or over the human perceptions are what were meant to be the spiritual perceptions of God that can interact and know and walk with God have been shrouded. Sin brought a cutting off, a departure of the Spirit of God. A new presence, a code, both sin and death codes have come in. And if you're listening to me right now and you're alive, good, but you and I are dying. Can't stop that. It's an intrusion. We don't like it. But it's part of what this mess up is all about. It's part of why people are trying to search and come up with concepts of God. So when it comes to man trying to do it out of the fallenness of man, out of that blinding that is supernaturally there and the deception that can come from the futility, from even, listen, even the best, I don't care if it's Einstein, I don't care if it's Aristotle, I don't care if it's, you know, whatever it is, on a human, finite, and even clouded perspective, we cannot come up with infallible definitions of God, let alone how to get there. Because every time you see mankind, whether in technology, philosophy, science, physics, whatever it may be, try to pull God down to dissect God like a frog. I mean, we've seen this in the whole ufology thing where whatever aliens we catch, we want to take them and dissect them, right? Maybe that's why they don't want anybody to catch them. Now, listen, don't get me wrong. I believe the whole alienology, ufology realm is a realm of great, reality, but spiritual deception. Extra-dimensional that may come into our dimension. It's obviously when the abyss opens up, the extra-dimensional will come into our dimension. That's for another time. Listen, we're talking about the immaterial nature of God, the pure actuality of God. I'll probably go over that again and again. Let me quote out of, again, Norman Geisler, the section, page 139, God's Immaterial and His Immensity. It's volume 1. And let me just mention here, God, listen, I'm quoting, God is pure actuality. Now, I'll give definition to that tomorrow, too. Pure act, I'm quoting, has no potentiality, while matter has the potential to change and does undergo changes. For example, matter changes from usable to non-usable energy under the forces described by the second law of thermodynamics. Therefore, God cannot be material. You know, God doesn't fade. God doesn't boil down. God doesn't decay. God doesn't rust. God doesn't grow weak. He's not like a battery that has to be recharged or, you know, like a Bic lighter that eventually, you know, uses up all of its existence, so we have to throw it away. The acidic nature of God, as we'll describe this week, shows us that God is self-propelling. That's a simple way of putting it. I'm quoting here, therefore God cannot be material. If he were, then he would have the potentiality to change, just as the universe has and does. So I'm going to say again, for our understanding, that God is immaterial in the sense that God is not the material in any sense, the material existence. God is not the particles. God is not the atom. God is not the all in all. Is his presence everywhere? Yes. Is his sustaining of all material existence there? Yes. But he's outside of it. In other words, he's outside the ability for humanity to detect on our own in the sense of philosophy, science, technology, you know, or using finite spirituality to try to bring the definitions. Now, I've mentioned this. I'm going to mention 1, 2, and 3. 1, 2, and 3. Here they are. The substance of God. You can't put God in a jar As a kid, I used to go outside at night in the summertime when all the lightning bugs were out there. With that jar, we would run around, little baby jars, you know, from my little brothers. We would run out and catch as many lightning bugs in that jar, put little holes in the top, of course, for air, and bring it into our bedrooms late at night, only to be fascinated by the little blinking lights, you know. And it was one of the things as a kid most kids probably have done. I'm going to say again, to understand this concept, God cannot be put in a jar so that we can simply observe. What I was observing was part of God's creation, part of the material existence. Fascinating. And that created material, that creation, does speak about the invisible qualities of God. His eternal power, divine nature. Romans chapter 1, check it out. The problem, again, is that people, New Agers and others, have exchanged the glory of the immortal, immaterial, immense, ascetic, pure actuality, God, for finiteness. And Satan loves that. I'm going to tell you right now, the dark fallen cherub loves that. Luciferian presence, real Satanism, real demonic presence, that's what they're all about anyway. The reason we search for God is that we lost God in the insurrection, in the rebellion, in the sin. We lost in the beginning. That's what God's intervention, God's plan, God's work, the prophets, that's what it's all about. God coming here, the incarnation, 700 years in advance. Immanuel, the immaterial, invisible God, would then come into material existence. The invisible God made visible. That's what it's all about. Have you ever read in Hebrews chapter 1? We're going to go there in a moment. But number one, the substance of God as far as the immaterial, let me simply say this, when it comes to all the concepts of science, technology, physicists, mathematicians, even the fella that I read, he wrote a book called The Physics of Immortality. I read that book. Basically, he's claiming that, the physicists like him, the scientists, they've now found God out of a mathematical formula, basically. Well, no, you haven't. What you've done is you've studied and used material existence to do what Scripture says. Point you back that God really does exist. There is an immaterial, eternal God. You have been pushed to look at the invisible nature of God and His divine power, or His eternal power, divine nature. The concept of the immaterial nature, the immense nature of God is this. For all of us humans, all of us mortals, God is untouchable. We're going to talk about later this week, you can't injure God. All of the sin, even the stuff going on in Haiti right now, the tragedies, root itself back in the fall of the human race, root itself back into literally an invasion of radical evil. And a decaying, a breaking down, the presence of death, toxic. Well, if you say toxic demonic presence energy, yes. Yes. When we talk about the substance of God being immaterial and untouchable, we're also going to say that God's not like the Holy Grail. The people that talk about the Grail, you know, all the blood of Christ. And listen, if people could get a sliver of God. If somehow you could take a baby jar, run out there, swing it in the air, and click the lid on it, and capture God in the baby jar, what would you do with it? You look at God floating around in the jar? Would DARPA weaponize the power, the presence, the sliver of God in the baby jar? I'm going to say again, from fallen, finite humanity moving upward, we cannot penetrate on any level the immaterial God. And I'm going to share something with you tonight also. And I think that as you listen to this, you will listen to an incredible revelation. The immaterial, infinite, acidic God, the invisible God, has clearly made himself known. No question about that. Let me read you something. It comes out of Timothy. I'm reading this quote. It says this, which God will bring about, referring to the second coming, which God will bring about in his own time. God, the blessed and only ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Now listen to verse 16. Who alone is immortal. Listen, who alone is immortal. Now that definition includes immaterial, immensity, things like that. Who alone is immortal and who lives in unapproachable light. Well, all the people that are getting out into the Akashic records and the New Agers and psychics, they're all getting into the light. Go to the light, go to the light. It's not this light. The Bible talks about how Satan can masquerade, transform himself into an angel of light. There is a counterfeit, finite light being presented to purposely deceive and draw people away from God. But God dwells as the immortal one in unapproachable light. Now I'm reading and quoting out of 1 Timothy, and here's verse 16. Referring to God, it says this, quote, whom no one has ever seen or can see. Whom no one has ever seen or can see. Now we're talking about the immaterial nature, the invisible nature of God. And in that, we're simply going over, well, this glorious, this magnitude, this immensity, this awesomeness of God's immaterial nature. And though we cannot run out with a baby jar or with CERN or with a microscope or with philosophical thinking or with physics or mathematical equations, though we cannot go out and capture God in the baby jar, examine, dissect, and look, or harness him for our purposes, like the New Age would teach about powers. God's beyond that. And that's a good thing. If we can boil everything down, then really, if we can control God, if we can capture God, if we can cage God, if we can cut off a sliver of God and weaponize God, then listen, literally, it's out of control. So please listen tonight as we talk about the immaterial nature. God revealed himself. God manifests his presence in the incarnation. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 1. We've come to the end of the hour. I want to say that we love you tonight. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. And we'll be back tomorrow night, survivetothrive.net. It's 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. God bless and good night.